بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. الله تعالى begins the section of the Quran and says, إن indeed, verily, certainly, undoubtedly, في خلق السماوات, in the خلق, in the creation of the heavens والأرض and the earth, واختلاف الليل and the alternation of the night والنهار and the day, لَهْ very certainly, definitely, آيَاتٍ, there are certainly signs, the ulil albab, the possessors of understanding. And who are these people? Al-ladhina yadhkuruna Allah, the people who make dhikr, they remember Allah, they mention Allah, qiyaman, while they are standing, qa'udan, and while they are sitting, wa'ala junubihim, and upon their sides. And besides remembering Allah, yatafakkaruna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ardh. Yatafakkaruna, and they think and they ponder fi in khalqi as-samawati wal-ardh, in the creation. In other words, they look at the creation and think about the creation. And they exclaim these words a number of Rabbanas. Before we get to the Rabbanas, I want to discuss one or two things about dhikr. Because one of the ideas behind the i'tikaf is that we need to train ourselves to become dhakirin. Dhakirin means people of dhikr. We have to train ourselves to become people of dhikr. And I think we live in a world that wants to make you ghafil, which is the opposite of dhakirin. Ghafil means someone who is unaware, unmindful, always distracted. And the world today, the world makes you ghafil. So in other words, you have to battle and fight to become a dhakirin. And Allah is saying that the ultimate level of dhakir is what? Al-ladhina yadhkuruna Allah all the time. Those who make dhikr of Allah all the time. So I just want to discuss two practical aspects when it comes to dhikr. And the first aspect was that something that I learned from the shuyukh of the previous yatika, which I found personally useful, is the one issue is that when you are, okay, let's start from the beginning, if you are making dhikr all the time, does it mean that you're always in the masjid? No. It obviously means you're going to be talking to someone, you're going to be driving to work, you're going to be having a meeting, you're going to be shopping, you're going to be playing with the kids, speaking to your wife, eating some food. You're going to be doing things all the time. So how do you become dhakir then? How do you become dhakir then? So I want to divide dhikr, to make it simple, I want to divide the dhikr into two different types of dhikr. The first type of dhikr would be the dhikr that you do when you do muraqabah. Like Shaykh Riyad is teaching us and guiding us through muraqabah. That type of dhikr is a dedicated dhikr. In other words, I am dedicated and devoted to making dhikr in that moment. In other words, it's my time when I'm trying to be 100% with Allah. My mind, heart, being is 100% with Allah. So there's a time when I'm making dhikr exclusively, completely. But then obviously I have to live a normal life. I have to go into the world. Then the question is, how do I keep in dhikr while I'm talking to my friend? Or while I'm eating? And the answer is that we have to keep, even while we're busy with something, certain things, let's put it this way, certain things don't take 100% of your being. For example, most of you have been driving for a few years. You can almost like use 5% of your being and drive quite successfully. You're in 100% concentration. You understand? Or if you're playing with your kids, maybe small kids, they're not speaking, they're just like crawling around and stuff. You don't need full. Or if you're eating something, you don't need your full like mind, soul, like it's a critical, mission critical or something. So generally there's always space in our consciousness to do something. So when we are busy, we should try to reserve a portion of our consciousness and a portion of our heart to dhikr. Reserve part of your heart to dhikr. And where do we find this actually? And I find it so beautiful. Because we find this idea. So let's discuss it, to summarize the two types of dhikr. One type of dhikr is when I'm exclusively, completely devoted to Allah. And the second part of dhikr is, I'm in the world, I'm engaged, but a part of my heart and a part of my consciousness is still making dhikr. So So in other words, I'm either making dhikr entirely or a part of it making dhikr, but I'm in dhikr here and dhikr here. So I never stop. So how do we practically achieve this? And I believe that the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the ultimate lucky, the love of Allah, he gave us a beautiful formula. And the formula is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he changed events, and what do I mean by changed events? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from sleeping to waking, there was a dhikr. And then from waking he went into the bathroom, there was a dhikr. And then he started the wudu, there was a dhikr. Then he entered the wudu, there was a dhikr. Then he left the bathroom, there was a dhikr. Then he made his salah as a dhikr. Then he left the house as a dhikr. He got into his camel or mule, and there was a dhikr. He went in the masjid, there was a dhikr. He came out of the masjid, there was a dhikr. He put in his clothes, there was a dhikr. Now, in other words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is teaching us that whenever I'm changing event, I need to remind my heart about Allah. It's very beautiful because it actually makes you, it's a catalyst towards a reminder. I'm changing event now, therefore make it. Therefore make it. So my advice to you, the first thing is that when you change events, and for example, those of you who work in office, for example, now you're sitting at your desk, now you have a 2 o'clock meeting. When you walk into the meeting, it's a change of event. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're not loudly with your heart. Because now before the meeting now, I'm going to make dhikr. You have an appointment, before the appointment, make dhikr. Next client, every client walks in, I'm going to remind myself. You need to set markers in your day. And when the marker happens, if you're at university, for example, new lecture, every lecture I'm going to remind myself, keep your heart touched to Allah. But I'm not just going to remind myself and say Allah's name with the Allah. I'm going to say the words, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if I don't know the dua, I'm going to say the words, at the same time I'm going to be raqib of my heart. I'm going to look into my heart and remind my heart. Almost like you have a internet connection. You connect dongles, you press connect. The dongles, you press connect. It's almost like you put the event starting, I press connect with my heart, connect to my heart. And yes, you might disconnect, but the more you do it, the stronger the connection becomes. And then if you want to add something more, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you read the Shamaid, inshallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he started his speech and he ended his speech, he always did it using the name of Allah. So again, we have to win. We just reconnect again at the end. So reconnect at the beginning, reconnect at the end. So what's left? The middle. So the middle is, we naturally going to forget. We're human beings and we live in this crazy world, we're going to forget. So at the beginning, definitely we can remind ourselves, and in the end, we can remind ourselves, and in the middle, we try occasionally just to look into our heart, remember. And it's like a workout, because the more we do it, the easier it becomes. It's like the stretch of the table. First, you can't touch your toes, you try again, you try again. Eventually it becomes easy. But there's a bit of mujahada, a bit of struggle at the beginning. And there's one beautiful quote I always remember, that this one person says, he wanted to make Qiyamullah. And Qiyamullah was very difficult. Most of us, including myself, we struggle with Fajr, especially in summer. But he wanted to make Qiyamullah. So he put in his alarm and he forced himself to wake up and all that. And then he says, I struggled and I battled and I just tried for 40 days and it was a struggle. But after the 40 days, I tasted the sweetness for 40 years. Because he went through that struggle. And when he went through that struggle, he reached a station where it became easy and enjoyable. It's a bit like exercise. You get people, if you must tell them to jog around the block, it will be like Qiyamah for them. They will come back and they will be dizzy and their chest will be burning and they will be in, you know, call it the medic. But if you get some of them, just jog again tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. Eventually a strange thing happens. feel that I have to jog every day. Because it makes me feel good and strong. And if you stop, you actually misses it. Because you become used to it. So it becomes actually a delight. A delight. So this is the path of the Kriya. It's just to stop and just to try all the time. The last part of the Kriya is that one of the brothers came to me as well and mentioned to me, how do you stop your thoughts? How do you stop your thoughts? Because now you're thinking about another and you're thinking, stop thinking. Stop thinking. Don't think about work. Don't think about it. The more you say don't think about it, the more you think about it. Like I tell you, don't think about an elephant. Don't think about it. And what do you think about an elephant? You think about the elephant and man, don't think about the elephant. So what happens is this is a difficult issue. Where is the place of your thoughts? Where is it? Where do you think? In your mind. Where is the dhikr? In your heart. So I'll just say they are located in two different places. These thoughts, the random thoughts we have, we think about soccer, work, all this stuff, is in the mind, the up and down the mind is. But the place of true dhikr is in the heart. So all you need to do is not battle your thoughts. Don't battle your thoughts. And one of our shuyukh, they explained to us in beautiful geography, they says, as if you maybe working at the computer and there's a window there. There's a window there. And it's all the time you said now. There's a window there. And then you're working. And you look down, there's all this traffic here. This traffic is distracting me. Okay. This traffic is distracting me. What do? You go into the elevator and press ground floor and go out in the main and say, stop Kalala. I'm trying to work. You can't do that. You can't stop the traffic. What you do is you need to take your gaze away from the traffic and just focus on your work. And try not to be done there. It's going to keep running. So the same with the dhikr. If your heart, if your mind is running up and down like crazy, then just tell your mind that you carry on what you're doing. Then you just look into your heart. Because muraqaba means to look. Look intensely. You just take your focus into your heart and picture your heart calling on. Make your mind carry on. Just ignore your thoughts. Don't have to fight it. Otherwise, you know, mental battle all the time. Then your heart's not doing anything because you're battling your thoughts. And you can't stop the traffic sometimes. So just go back. And I find this personally, this advice is very useful to me. Because every time my mind is distracted, I put my mental gaze into my heart and just try to picture my heart calling on. Because the mahal, the place of muraqabah, is in the heart. So inshallah, keep at it inshallah. Keep at it inshallah. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا Those who remember Allah قِيَامًا standing on قُعُودًا and sitting وَعَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ and upon their sides. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ and they think and they ponder in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the they exclaim and they are overwhelmed with the presence of all of these signs and they call out Rabbana five times. Rabbana, O our Master, ma khalaqata, you did not create hada, all of this batila without any purpose. Subhana, how perfect, how exalted you are. Fa sawqib, save us adab an-nar from the punishment of the hellfire. Rabbana, O our Master, our Lord, innaka indeed you, Allah, man, whoever tudkhilin nara, whoever you enter into the hellfire, faqad akhzaytahu, then certainly you have disgraced and humiliated this person. Wama lil zalimina min ansar, wama and there is not lil zalimina or wrongdoers min ansarin from any helper. But the believers have a helper, because we call our helper, Rabbana, O our Master, innana. Verily we sami'na, we have heard munadiya, we have heard a caller, yunadi lil iman, calling towards iman. The caller can be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Quran. It's actually one and the same thing. Calling towards iman and saying that, aminu bi rabbikum, aminu, believe bi rabbikum in your master, fa, immediately then, amanna, we believe. Rabbana, O our Master, faghfir, forgive lana for us dhunubana, our sins, wa kaffir, and cover very uncover anna, away from us, from us, sayyatina, our evil, disgusting deeds. Wa tawaffana ma'al abarar, and take us, cause us to die, ma'al abarar, for the people of righteousness. Rabbana, O our Master, wa atina, and give us, grant us ma, that which wa'adtana, you promised us, Allah, ala rusulika, upon your messenger. Wa la tukhzina yawm al-qiyama, and do not disgrace us on the day of qiyama. Innaka, indeed, verily you, Allah, la tukhlifu al-mi'ad, you do not break al-mi'ad, the promise. Now question. Those five Rabbanas, who is speaking to whom? Who is speaking to whom? The Ulul Albab are speaking to Allah. One of the messages of the Quran, a very beautiful message, is that life is actually a dialogue, a conversation between us and Allah. Now another question. If I open a Mus'haf and I start reading the Quran, who is speaking to who? I open the Mus'haf, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Fastajaba Lahum Rabbuhum. Who is speaking to who? Allah is speaking to us. Even though I'm saying the words, I'm just manifesting the words that Allah is saying to me. Allah is saying to me. So let's think about it. There's a dialogue from Allah to me, and there's a dialogue from me to Allah. The dialogue, one of the ways that Allah speaks to me is via the Quran. One of the ways I speak to Allah is what? Via dua. Who do you think must speak first? Who must speak first? Who should speak first? You see, if we spoke first, we didn't know what to speak to. We didn't know what to say. So what you find in the Quran is sort of an adab in the Quran. And then I had a few points of the adab is. It's called Surah Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah is telling us to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to the Master of all the worlds. Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. Okay, now something. Those words there, is that dua from us? No. That's Allah telling us. He's informing us, you read who I am. I am merciful, I am compassionate, and I am your master, but I'm also Maliki Yawmiddin. Difficult to read some of the I'm Rabbul Alameen, I am the master, the Lord of all of the world. But next, I am merciful, I am soft, I am gentle. Maliki Yawmiddin, but there's consequence. I am the owner of the last of the judgment. Allah is speaking to us. Then Allah tells us what? Yodan. What's Yodan? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ya Allah, you're the master. You allowed to be worship and you allowed to be prayed for help. And if you're the master and we only pray to you, let's pray. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. O Allah, guide us to the straight path, to the end of the screen. It's got four ayats of Ramadan. Allah says in the ayat of Ramadan, Shahr Ramadan is the only place of Ramadan to mention the Quran. And some of them might say it's the only verse of Ramadan because the other verses do the other fasting, other no space. Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, that the Quran was revealed. هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. Three things about the Quran, we're going to start discussing them. We're going to discuss the three things. There is guidance, there is proof of guidance, and there is a criteria. So the month of Ramadan is what? The month of the Quran. How do we manifest that? We read our Fatiha, we come to Tarawih, and we hear Allah speaking to us. Right? So the month of Ramadan is actually the month of Allah speaking to us. it's the month of celebrating Allah speaking to us, like the birthday of the Quran. We're looking for the birthday. When's the birthday? 21st, 23rd, 24th, 27th, 29th. Looking for the birthday, but the birthday is sometime now. This is a celebration of Allah speaking to us. Then what's the next verse? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when your slave asks about me, I am indeed close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي. I will respond to the call of the call. You see, Allah speaks first, and Allah says, if you're going to ask about me, just ask me. So now Allah is telling us, you listen to me. You listen to my communication of Quran, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. And then أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي, inshallah, we have time, we can talk another sort of powerful, powerful verse, some other time, inshallah. But that verse is telling you what? Allah speaks first, and then you speak. Now come to this ayat here. This is unique, this is like amazing. This. How did the ayah start? Inna, where is Allah speaking to us in this section? This is amazing. Allah is saying at the beginning of this section, because the new section, Allah is saying, Inna fi khalqi samawati wa ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wa an-nahar la ayatin. It's amazing. La ayatin. In other words, what is all of the Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana a response to? It's a response to ayatin. It's a response to ayatin. What do we learn from this? Allah can speak to us without using words. Allah can speak to us just is the tree is Allah speaking to us. The cloud is Allah speaking to us. I'll put it in another way. You know, those of you who did art, each artist has like a signature look. You understand? Like if you see blocks and faces and those all the places, like a Picasso look, because he likes to make things look weird. And then this person is kind of weird. In other words, each artist has a trademark look. So now, this is obviously just an example. And to all of us, the highest examples. It's almost as if Allah is the artist of this world. And let's say He's also the poet or the speaker of this world. He's the artist of the world. He designed this entire world Himself. And when you look at His art, you see the artist. Because this art is so beautiful. This art is so harmonious. This art is so diverse. This art is so together as well. This art reminds me of what? Reminds me of what? Of the artist. But Allah besides being the artist, what else is He? They say the poet, for a bit, like a Christ of poetry, but I'm saying for like a bit of an example, the poet. Now it also reveals not only art, it also reveals what? Words. Where does the art come from? The artist. Where do the words come from? The poet. So what I'm saying is that this is a very important concept in the Quran of ayat, which they call matlubin, wa ayatu ghayru matlubin. They are ayat that are matlubin, which means tilawa. They are ayat which make tilawa of. It's called ayatul kitab. And there's ayat in nature which are ghayru matlubin, you don't make tilawa of the tree. But it's still an ayat. So the idea is that Allah is speaking to us, whether we're looking into our mushaf and learning about Allah, or whether you're getting up from your mushaf and you're walking in the world, Allah is still speaking to us. And when Allah speaks to us, He's speaking to us all the time because the ayat don't stop. Because Allah says, ayat in the heaven, His ayat in the earth, His ayat in your own son, His ayat everywhere. Allah is never stopping to communicate to us. So He communicates to us constantly, and what is our response? We communicate back to Him. And what happens when we communicate back to Him? Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي. Because the people of Al-Bab are making dhikr. What does Allah say? You mention me. And what's going to happen again now? أَذْكُرُكُمْ. I'm going to speak back to you again. This is the dialogue of life. Allah speaks to you by the ayat. Allah speaks to you by the Quran. You become overwhelmed. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana. You make your dua. It doesn't go into end. Allah speaks again back to you. And this is why the people of the awliya of this world, for them, it's a real relationship. They don't forget Allah for a moment. Not because they don't want to, but they couldn't. How can I forget all of them? It's overwhelmed by him, it's more like forgetting that I have a hand or something like that. How can I forget all of them? But for whom? The people without giving me screens in their life. Put it at the verb. Put it at the verb. It's limited, put it at the verb. You need to be a person of blue. If you're not a person of blue, whatever I say makes no sense. Of trees and mountains. Where's the ice cream? Really? Because I have to feed my nafs, I'm talking about all these things. Makes no sense. Really, that's how people who are like animals. They like cows want to eat, they want to be like, you know, all the duck rooms. Lord, give us more understanding of all the cathedral of Al-Bab. Okay, so now we're next verse. This is beautiful. What's the first word? Fastajaba. Who's talking for this? Rabbana, 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 Fa'atat, Rabbana. The Ul al-Bab spoke. Who's responding? Allah, Fastajaba. You know the word in Cape Town, Jawab? There's no P in Arabic language. It comes with the word Jawab. It's a common name of Pakistan, it's only Pakistan. There's no P in Arabic language. Very bad. So Jawab comes from Jawab, which means to respond. That's why the Khalifa will say, Jawab, Jawab, must respond, must respond. So Fastajaba, say with it, Fastajaba. Then to respond, because the Ul al-Bab, they respond to Allah's communication via ayah, within the Quran, within nature. They respond to Allah, and Allah responds back to them. Fastajaba lahum Rabbuhum. Then responds to them, Rabbuhum, their master. Their Lord, their caretaker, their nourisher, their sustainer. And he responds, Anni, that I, Allah, La udi'u amala amilin, La udi'u, I will not cause to get lost, I will not cause to go to waste, I will not cause something to go to no avail. What? Amala amilin. Students of first year, Mudafnila. The action, because Amal is like that, followed by Jal. Especially know you are. Amal al-Amini. The Amal, the action of any actor, the doer of anybody who does. What's Fa'al al-Amini again?
He did.
And Amila, Amila, he did. What's the difference between the Fi'al and Amal? But the root between fi'l, because fa'ala means he did, and amila means he did as well. Fa'ala means he did, amila means he did. But fa'ala doesn't always include niyya. For example, your breathing is a fi'l, a ta'amil. Because fa'ala means to do something not necessarily with niyya. Can be niyya, but not necessarily. But amal is only action plus niyya. You can't do amal without niyya. An action plus niyya. What is the word amal teaches? That the people of loom, the people of understanding, they act with intention. They act with purpose. So amal alone tells them. They are people who act with intention. How many people live lives without intention? Really? One of the problems with the youth, one of the difficulties is, I ask you, what is the purpose of your life? They're just living for the moment. Even the old people also. There's no greater intention, drive, vision. Okay, like that's for niyya, like it's vision. Like if you say, I'm in niyya to go to Hajj, what do you mean? I'm envisioning myself going on the plane and being in Makkah living. So niyya is what is the vision for your action? So I'm a beautiful word. But I, Allah, la udiku, I will not cause to become lost, become wasted. Amal al-amilin, the action of any person who acts. Minkum, from you. Min dhakarin, of any dhakar. Dhakar means a male. Aw untha, aw or a female. Okay, speed up the show. I think pause it. Why is Allah mentioned a male and a female? unusual. If you go to the Sutta Rasula of the soul, it's interesting why do I mention a male or a female? Because one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it just shows you the woman, the Sahabi, the Sahabiya. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah." La nasma'u Allah. We don't hear Allah dhakara an-nisa. We don't hear Allah mention the women, fil hijrati, regarding hijrah, bishayin at all. So Allah speaks about the muhajirin. Now, for those of you who know Arabic, muhajirin and jamu dhakara an-nisa, which means it includes the male plural, includes males and females. So she obviously knew this. But what does she want? I don't want to hear my name as part of the males. Males and females. Why does Allah mention us specifically? I said, I didn't think we would do that. You think of Sahabiya? She's asking Allah, why are you doing this? Fuck, anzal Allah, fastajaba rabbuhum, this one here. Inni la udiru, amal amin, minkum min dhakrin aw untha. The point I want to make is Allah revealed these words in response to Umm Salama radiallahu anha. A woman asking the Prophet I'm asking, why doesn't Allah mention me? And Allah responds to her by revealing, of every male and every female, I will not cause their work to become worse. It's very profound. Allah is prepared to change or to not to change. Allah is prepared to reveal something to, because a woman wants to be considered. And I want to mention one of our shortcomings as a community, and there may be reasons why. But I believe that women need to feature in our decision making in this community. We are a community of males and females. We cannot take all the decision making exclusively to the males. We need to give women a place at the table. Whatever we place at the table, we need to get the input of both males and females. What does it practically mean? It practically means that the leadership of the Muslim community cannot be entirely males. It practically means that masajid boards and committees of mosques cannot be without females. Because how can you have a committee, I don't know the committee or someone, I was talking about this, I was talking in general, and some nasiha for the committee. But I'm saying, when a committee is serving a mosque, which is an Islamic center, and the Islamic center is serving males and females, you need to give females a place at the table because we're discussing community issues. It's important. And this comes from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It comes from this ayah. Allah is going to give recognition to the concern. And males and females don't think the same. And that's a beautiful thing because it's very complimentary. I tell you, my personal life, I always make mashkura of my wife. Because she has a different perspective from me. She has a different understanding of me. There's lots of value in that. And the Prophet ﷺ did the same. And he made mashura, even though his words came from Allah, he made mashura with his wife over things about his ummah. Famous example of what? Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah, when he was supposed to go to Umrah. And they told Sahaba, cut your hair. They don't cut their hair. He asked her, what do I have to do? He's making a decision. This ummah was built on the support of Khadija radiallahu anha. Really? This ummah was built on the support of Khadija radiallahu anha. The moral support, the financial support, the emotional support of Khadija radiallahu anha. He came to her and he told her what we received in this revelation. لَقَدْ خِيفْتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. He said, I fear I have been struck by some sort of something else. He was scared. So Allah said, he didn't know what was happening. He thought maybe I was afflicted by some madness or some jinn. She wrapped him up. And she says, Wallahi, la yukhzika Allahu abada. Allah will never ever disgrace you. Why? Because you are the one that you help the poor people, you help the traveler. This is Khadija radiallahu anha. She is one of the foundations of this ummah. And we as a community, we cannot just not keep women space. It's a big problem. And also, our buildings are inherited as they are, and they're generally small. But our Islamic centers, our masajid, need to be comfortable for females as well. It can't be a small woman in the corner at the back there where it can't fit. Really, it's a problem. They must be part of these gatherings. And that even for our children also, which have little play centers where the kids can go play, so not too much noise in the mosque, they can go play somewhere else there. It must be a place where the family can come to. The fathers are here, the mothers and daughters are there, the kids are there. It's a family place. This is a collective space. So if Allah is prepared to mention women, men and women individually, why are we prepared to consult them, both of them? It's problematic. And actually it's harmful to our deen. Because when people don't find a space, they go somewhere else. There's no space for me here, they go somewhere else. Nobody else are going through. So it's very important. I mean, that kind of unta is really important. Ba'adukum min ba'adil Allah says, some of you are from others. In other words, you're from one source. Every man comes from man and a woman, every woman comes from a woman and a man. You want people. Something else about women. Men and women, there's an external reality and there's an internal reality. There's an external reality and there's an internal reality. What do I mean by external? It's like social customs and social laws. There are some differences based on social interaction when it comes to males and females. For example, males have certain responsibilities that women don't have. For example, one of the responsibilities of a man is that he needs to provide for his family. He needs to provide for his children. It doesn't, the woman doesn't have the same degree of responsibility. But let's talk about this external reality. When it comes to the laws of salah, there's some differences. The woman has hajj, she doesn't have to make salah. It's external law. But when it comes to the internal reality, matters of the qalb, there is no distinction. There's no distinction. When it comes to taklif, the responsibility, there's no distinction. When it comes to hisab, accountability in front of Allah, there's no distinction. When it comes to ajr, Allah rewarding the woman, there's no distinction. When it comes to the inner reality of Islam, there's no distinction between a male and a female. The only distinction lies on the external reality in certain cases. And it's important thing to note. For example, tazkiyah is wajib upon every male and every female without any distinction. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضِ Some of you from Allah, from others. فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا So those who هَاجَرُوا, those who made hijrah, وَأُخْرِجُوا And they were driven out مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ From their homes. وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِ And they were harmed فِي سَبِيلِ In my path. وَقَاتَلُوا And they fought. وَقُتِلُوا And they were killed. Allah says, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ Go back to the du'a of Allah. What is the du'a of Allah? رَبَّنَا قَدْ رَبَّنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا Do you kafir عَنَّا? What is kafir مِمَا تَوْلِ الْكُفَّارِ? What is kafir مِمَا again? What's the difference in kafir and أُكَفِّرَنَا لَا أُكَفِّرَنَا How many X letters do you see? The one has three. كَفَرَا How many words letters do you have here? لَا أُكَفِرَنَا We have six. So we have three additional letters. Very profound. The Ulul Albab made dua. وَكَفِّرْ cover up, bury and cover up عَنَّا سَيِّعَاتِنَا our sins. Allah responds how? لَا أُكَفِّرَنَا I don't have time to go through all of those different categories, but let's just sum it up. Those who became Muslim, there was some sacrifice. They were driven from their homes, they were harmed, and they had to make hijrah. If you're going to live a life of Islam and the life of Allah, there's going to be some sacrifices. That's the inevitable part of life. You may find difficulty from your family, you may find difficulty in the community, you may need to change your job, you may need to adjust your lifestyle. There's some sort of challenge, because life is a test for you. But those people who exert themselves and they pass the test, Allah says, لَا أُكَفِّرَنَّ لَا is therefore what we call tawkeel. It's therefore, emphasis. That's the first, there's six letters. The first letter is therefore, Tawqeed. The last letter, the noon at the end is therefore, Tawqeed. So we have double emphasis. La, definitely, the noon, certainly, undoubtedly. Then the U means I, Allah. And Allah didn't say Nu. Nu means we, Allah. The U is more personal. The U is very much more personal pronoun than the Nu. Allah says, if you do this, if you're going to strive in my path, and if you're going to be around in my path, La ukaffiranna, I will definitely, certainly, undoubtedly, I personally, I will cover anhum from them, sayyi'atihim, their sayyi'at, their evil actions. Not only that, wa and la udkhilannahum, again a la, again a u, again a la, triple emphasis. I, Allah, personally, I will definitely, undoubtedly, I will certainly enter them, jannatim, into gardens, multitudes of gardens, tajri, that flow, min tahtiha, from beneath it, al-anharu, rivers flow from beneath it. Thawaban, it will be a reward, a recompense, min indillah, from Allah, with Allah, from Allah himself. Wallahu indahu, and Allah indahu, with him Allah is husnul thawab, is the greatest, the best, the most beautiful of rewards. Inshallah, in tomorrow this inshallah we'll just discuss some of the details behind some of this ayah. Now, just the end of it saying, it's such a beautiful piece here, because here Allah is responding back to the Ulul Albab. Back to the Ulul Albab. And Allah is saying, what? I am not going to let anything that you do go to waste. The smallest thing that you do, I am taking on it. And you understand, Tikafir, every small thing you are doing, Allah is taking on it. If you're sitting in Bikr and you're struggling, Allah is taking up. Allah is looking at you. Allah is watching you. Every tiny thing Allah is taking note of. And the tiny thing that might be tiny to us, it will be Ali great of Allah. This is beautiful because, you know, the beautiful Allah is watching us. I must listen to the time. The Asr is also true. Allah is watching you. And one of the beautiful names, the love name of Allah, Ash-Shakur. Such a beautiful name, Ya Rabb. Ash-Shakur. Because we always say you mustn't do things for other people. But what do other people do for you? They recognize you, they praise you, they compliment you, they make you feel so nice, they press like on your Instagram account, they follow you. Feel so nice, I'm so popular, nice comments there. Good, you know. Mashallah, the heart, you know. They do that. And we say, don't look for likes and hearts and all those things. Where do you look for your comfort and recognition? From Ash-Shakur. Shakara means to be grateful. So Ash-Shakur is the one who appreciates. Appreciates. Because when you credit to Allah, and Allah appreciates you, what do you care about other people? My Rabb appreciates me. My Rabb who loves me is Ash-Shakur, he appreciates me. He loves what I'm doing. Seek your recognition only with Allah. Seek your recognition only with Allah. Only with Allah. Allah recognizes and appreciates any amal. Amal, meaning any action of the personal acts, Allah is going to appreciate it from male or female. You all from one source. And those who sacrifice, those who are going to endure, those who are going to try, they're going to find it difficult, but they're going to strive and strive and strive. Allah is saying, I'm going to cover up, I'm going to bury all those terrible things you did, I will bury it, don't worry. I'll sort it out, la ukaffiranna anhum sayyi'atihim, I will sort it out, it's sorted out, don't worry, I love all your good stuff, so what? La udkhilannahum. I'm going to definitely take them and say, Bismillah, into Jannat, into all these gardens, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, waterfront property, lovely rivers flowing in front of it, and it's going to be a reward from Allah, and with Allah is the greatest reward. Ya Rabb, may Allah give us the greatest reward of Jannah. May Allah. make us of those who can earn Allah's appreciation. May Allah make us of those who can strive. And even when we find it difficult, may we continue striving. Find difficult, may we continue striving. Now give a piece of advice to people on here in Tikkun. The people on here in Tikkun, you have a golden opportunity to get to know Allah. A golden opportunity doesn't come back until next year if you're still alive at that. My advice to you, there's still time. Don't slack down. Don't go lie on your beds too much. And if you lie on your bed, you might ticker about Nubi. But if you're going to be here, I would advise you all to try to attend all the programs in the masjid here. I know sometimes you get tired, you pull up the chin, but the barakah is there in the masjid, the barakah is there in the city. And so try to attend all the, push yourself. I guarantee when you push yourself, I can see the brothers are pushing themselves, they are feeling something. And the brothers are not pushing themselves, they're not feeling, they're like, okay, they're like, alright. But the brothers, I can guarantee, all the brothers are pushing themselves, they're in front all the time. They're feeling something. Because they're pushing themselves. I guarantee it's not 30 days, it's only Thursday now. You keep doing this for a few more days, you're going to feel so much. Inshallah. Wait, more time. So try to push yourself. And then we're not in the gathering. Try not to socialize too much and relax and eat chips and chocolate in the room too much. Try to sit here. If you're feeling tired, sit in your chair and just relax. Just read some Quran. If you feel tired to make dhikr and tasbih, just sit. Just enjoy the silence. With your heart and foot. These are the brothers who are going to really benefit. I remind myself also. Don't spend too much time on the matters. Especially when it becomes distracting. You don't become distracted. I guarantee you, if you have a long conversation, you are. Something happens to your heart. So try not to have too many conversations. The last few days, push yourselves, inshallah. And Allah will give you Allah's fatah as an opener. He will give you an opening, inshallah. But you must push yourselves. All the programs you try to attend, even in time of the fajr, if you're tired of the shamayim, you don't want anymore. You sit here, bring that chair and sit here. You do your dhikr. After you do your istighfar and your salawat, you la ilaha illallah. You push yourself, you have the rest, you wake up, you back here again. Free time, you're with your mushaf. Or you're sitting making muraqaba. You're remembering Allah, back in the program again. Then you eat salah again, back in the program. You eat for a few minutes, back in the mosque. This is the training, inshallah. The training. And when Allah sees Allah, inshallah, Allah grants you opening. No one can close it. And I'll end up with Muhammad quoted in his dars on the first day. He says, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that indeed in this life there is a Jannah. And those who don't enter the Jannah in this life, perhaps they won't enter the Jannah in the next life. There is a Jannah in this life. And the Jannah is being connected to Allah. So we must seek the Jannah of this life. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.